So the disciples were afraid. No surprise. They were the best friends and closest associates of a man executed by the Romans and the temple authorities as both a revolutionary and a blasphemer, an impostor to both. Easy to be expected that they would be afraid that there'd come a knock on the door and the temple police would come looking for them as well. But there's more here. You see, these are the guys who in Jesus' moment of crisis, his moment of need, they flaked out. They betrayed him, they abandoned him, they ran away. And so over this fear of being arrested is this sense of guilt and shame that they did not support Jesus. And it's in this fraught moment when they're cowering behind a closed door, a locked door, that Jesus is in their midst even though the door is locked. Luke's account says they thought he was a ghost. Now, at our stage of popular culture, with all the horror movies we have seen and all of the TV shows about ghost hunters, that doesn't have nearly as much impact on us. But in the ancient world, there was a great deal of superstition about ghosts. Ghosts are a bad thing. You think of Samuel being called up from the grave to appear to Saul the day before Saul dies in battle. There's the legend of the ghost of Caesar appearing to Caesar's assassins on the evening before their climactic battle with Augustus. And of course, there's the ghost of Hamlet's father in Hamlet. Ghosts always bring bad news. It may be an omen of something evil that's about to happen, or it may be the ghost has come back to get revenge for something that was done to him in his life. And so the disciples see Jesus, and they have to be thinking, is he here to settle accounts with us? And Jesus says to them, peace be with you. Now, Jesus is not just hanging with his homies. He's not just saying, peace, what's up? Mm-mm. This is a full, deep shalom, peace. In Luke's account, he says, don't be afraid. Fear not. He's telling them, I have no grudge against you. We are right with each other. And then he shows them his hands and his side. He says, touch me. Put your fingers in the wounds. In all of the resurrection appearances, there's this very tactileness. Mary grabs Jesus' feet in the garden. Put your fingers in the wounds. Jesus in Luke asks for something to eat, and he eats a piece of fish. And in John, Jesus is there on the beach, and he's got a fire, and he's grilling pita bread and fish. Touch, see that I'm real. This is real. It's not a dream. God guarantees it. I have come back from the dead. And then he does something even more profound. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. You continue my mission. The mission that is to forgive sins, receive the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit of life, the gift of mercy, can be poured out on all you come in contact with. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. It's no coincidence that Thomas wants to touch. He said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, bring your hand and put it into my side and do not be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas reaches out and touches the very source of mercy in the ripped open side of Jesus. And the good news is this, it is through Jesus who really died and who really rose that we are brought into contact with God's mercy. Forgiveness and salvation are available only through the stream of blood and water flowing from his side. And it is through the apostolic ministry that is given in this gospel passage and the sacraments that it generates that we have real living contact with redemption, peace, and forgiveness. Our own sins of betrayal and abandonment. We can't look down on the disciples for bailing out in the garden. How often when we are faced with temptation do we bail out and give in to the temptation? And that is forgiven. God is a God of mercy. Scripture says God is love, and he desires to bring us into that relationship of love. And Jesus comes to show us that mercy, the Father's mercy. St. John Paul the Great said that Jesus is the face of the mercy of God. Even if we abandon him, he never abandons us. The psalmist sings it today. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Praise be Jesus Christ.